Morning, Texas Tech. I'm Morgan Spruill, and on today's show, we're having a Flashback Friday. Just how we've changed since high school and how we compare to who we were back then.
And I'm Kevin Wade. Later, we'll bring you all the latest buzz out of Hollywood and find out what's trending on Twitter.
I'm Kiara Powell. Coming up later in the show, we have Dr. Thomas Kimball joining us in the studio. He's Tech's director of the Center for the Study of Addiction and Recovery. But first, here's Alyssa Russell with a look at your KTXT News update.
This is Alyssa Russell with your KTXT News Update. President Obama will announce today that he's ending the controversial National Security Agency phone data surveillance program as it currently exists. That's what a senior administration official told CNN. The official said Obama will order a transition of the current intelligence gathering program to one that addresses concerns about privacy and civil liberties. A San Antonio TV station is apologizing for a weatherman using a racially insensitive term on air. Fox 29 says meteorologist Mike Hernandez accidentally said Martin Luther Coon Jr. Day yesterday morning instead of Martin Luther King Jr. Day. The station also says they're handling the matter internally and take the language very seriously. Most comments on the station's Facebook page are supportive of Hernandez, with people saying they understand it was a mistake. A New York man claims that drugs he was given after a heart transplant may have caused him to become a child molester. An attorney for Lewis Huff Jr. says he had never been in trouble with the law before his transplant 5 years ago. Huff recently pled guilty to 5 felony charges for molesting children in 2012 and 2013. The Utah Tax Commission says same-sex married couples can file joint state tax returns. Spokesman Charlie Roberts says the decision was made after consulting with Governor Gary Herbert and the state attorney general. Google has a prototype of a smart contact lens that could give diabetics a new way to manage their disease. The high-tech lens can measure glucose levels in the wearer's tears using a tiny chip with a miniaturized glucose sensor. Tiny LED lights would light up if the person's glucose levels went too high or too low.
Last morning of the school week out there, starting out cold. Temps in the lower 20s, feeling like the teens with a breeze. Now that same wind turns southwesterly, and with plenty of sunshine and those winds becoming gusty, we can expect warmer afternoon temperatures. Still cool, however, in the mid to upper 50s. This weekend, more mild temperatures prevail. High Saturday and Sunday, both in the 60s. Mornings remain chilly in the 20s. And now MLK Day Monday, a little bit cooler. Highs in the lower 60s, breezy conditions as well. For the Raider, I'm Cutter Martin.
Good morning, everyone. It is finally Friday, 8:03 here at the station. So, any plans for this weekend?
Morgan, you don't realize you've done this, but I do have to call you out on it because this is what Marissa and I were laughing about. You sent a text message meant for your boyfriend, I assume, to us.
Hey, it wasn't risque. I was just telling him good morning, and
I was like, why is Morgan sending me a kiss and telling me good morning, lover boy? I was like, this is
lover
awkward.
Lover boy. Wow, I'm like blushing now.
So everyone knows how Morgan's Friday's going.
I mean, have you ever done it, Kevin? Sent somebody the wrong...
I have not. I feel like... I don't know. Okay, I might have sent, like, I mix up, like, my parents and my brothers and all that, but, you know, like, I'm going to check. If I'm going to send, like, kisses and hugs and all kinds of that
kiss.
Kind of stuff.
It was nothing crazy.
Okay.
All
Alyssa,
right.
Have you ever done it?
Yes, I have. And so now I triple check the person's name, like, 8 times.
I think there's an app for that, actually, that will, like...
like, check it for you?
I think it's meant for late night texts if you're, you know,
well, mine usually happens because I'm half asleep.
No. If you wake up early and you're just like, shoot. A text off.
Not good.
So, Kevin, what's going on in the world? What's your current event?
Well, all right. I found that right on the heels of Duck Dynasty returning to air, they have released a Duck Commander video game. which is great. Because Duck Dynasty just wants to take over the world. But it's basically like the old Duck Hunter game. They give you a little tiny pump-action shotgun, and you point it at your TV and you shoot things. There are three different gameplay modes, and in between, every time you shoot, the Duck Dynasty characters pop up and give you advice on how you're doing and start talking to you. It's ridiculous. First mode is just like you're shooting ducks. Second one, you shoot frogs. And the third one is apparently like beaver apocalypse, where you're just basically holding off hordes of beavers running at you and shooting
them. I would be really interested to know what their net worth is right now.
Right? Ridiculous. Where they just come up with this stuff and they're like, here you go.
It's never been released or anything, but
yeah.
I'd be interested to know.
I was reading an article and I believe it said each of them made over $200,000 per episode.
No,
that's accurate, but that's what the article had said. So they're doing well.
They're doing well. Where they can put out these video games. But you're right, they're completely riding on the coattails of their show for everything they do. Because apparently, I read this article, said the graphics are terrible, it's super simple, but people are going to buy it because they watch, they watch Duck Dynasty. And he said it's just like an insanely addicting video game because, if you know the show, the characters like pop up and talk to you. So that's the big seller for all of their stuff.
You know, I didn't know what the big hoopla was about Duck Dynasty, but I did actually watch a show the other day, and it was kind of funny.
I love it.
I like the old guy, the Sai. He's pretty funny.
He's like the very comforting old crazy uncle that everybody has.
Yeah.
Maybe not everybody has like a hillbilly grandpa, but you know. Something.
Oh, yeah. No. But, you know, like, and every time he'll come on and he'll say something every once in a while that's, like, super profound, and you're just like, whoa, it's weird. You're wearing camo, and you said something exciting. Anywho.
Well, another dysfunctional family, the Goslings.
Oh, yay.
Goslins, I'm sorry. Kate Goslin and her kids were on the Today Show, and then they were supposed to be speaking out her children about an interview that they did talking about life after the television show and how it didn't mess up their childhood. But as the interview went on, she was asking them questions, you know, not anything too difficult. Why did you feel the need to come forward? What do you want people to know about you? They freeze. No one is saying anything, and the mom is sitting there on the couch. You know, I don't want to speak for them, but...
But I'm going to speak for them now.
Well, because poor kids, they probably have lived their life, you know, going through that whole... Not that they're, you know, stars or anything, but this is not what you should say. This is not where you should go or be seen at. You know, that
they're
whole...
They're looking at mom like, what do we say here? Because they're used to growing up in front of a camera, all those kids.
How old are they now?
13.
That's
they're
crazy.
Twins, Kara and
Are they the oldest?
Mandy. Oh, I'm not sure.
I think there are some older.
But they're definitely...
Old enough to know. I mean, but if you're saying they grew up in front of a camera, they should be comfortable. Why would you freeze up?
Yeah, I would hate for my awkward stage to be recorded.
Yeah, because, I mean,
I looked weird.
At that age, when you're like a kid, you're such a ham, though. Like, you want to be in camera, like in front of a camera. Is that an old word, a ham?
I've heard that
in front
before.
Of the
like,
camera,
oh, you're
you
such a ham. Yeah.
Around.
Ham it up.
Yeah, but like when you turn 13, you're awkward. You don't know what to say.
Yeah.
In that prepubescent.
I guess.
Stage.
I don't know. It was very uncomfortable to watch, but you should go and watch it because,
because
the whole show is very uncomfortable to watch.
Speaking of horrible, I don't know if y'all have heard about this, but Corey Knowlton won the top prize in the Dallas Safari Club's auction for a black rhino hunting permit.
Oh, boy.
Supposedly for $350,000, he would be allowed to hunt the rare species in southern Africa. And supposedly, critics are outraged, and he now has to have security detail because of many death threats to him and his family.
That's interesting.
Yeah,
that's, oh my gosh, who would pay that much to just go to Africa and shoot a rhino? I mean, like, I understand. I mean, we're in Texas. I know we got a lot of hunters, but like trophy
for
hunting
deer.
Like that. Yeah, for like deer and hog and antelope and stuff like that. But how are you just like, I'm going to spend as much as a nice house to go shoot a big gray thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I know, and an endangered big gray thing.
That's the part that kind of gets me is that this animal is endangered. How...
Yeah.
Well, how do you justify that?
Sorry.
I read online that I was actually going to do this on my newscast, but the rhino that he killed was killing other rhinos.
Oh, so it's justice.
Yes, it was justice served.
Everyone in Texas should appreciate that.
Yes, no. So there you go. He was an older, non-breeding, like he was out of his, you know, exciting lifetime, so he was just killing the other rhinos anyway.
He's a homicidal maniac rhino. Yeah. Okay. Well, all right, so maybe he made the good choice after he realized that maybe we shouldn't be killing giant rhinos. But I was talking to Morgan earlier. He pays that much for that. And then I feel like all those big trophy hunters, they want to get the whole animal, like, taxidermed and mounted. And that in itself costs, like, $50,000 for a big game like that. I just don't know. It just baffles me. Not exactly that he wants to shoot the rhino, like, whatever. But just the amount of money he's spending doing this.
Why does it baffle you? If that's what somebody enjoys, that's where they get their rush.
That's true.
I don't know.
I guess people get so rich at one point that they just like spend money on ridiculous stuff.
What else is there to do but go kill things?
Yeah.
But speaking of, this has nothing to do with that. But my current event is about, there was a study that finally proves that babies do fake cry to get attention.
I knew it.
Yep. We already knew that.
But, you know, it was one of those, it could have been folklore, you know, it could have not been true, but a study, I want to say it was in Japan. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was in Japan. They did a study with two sets of babies. There was baby R and baby M.
Why not like A and B? Like, why'd they have to go all the way that far down the alphabet?
Because
anyway,
their alphabet is different than ours.
Okay, yeah.
They do not use the same Arabic language.
Keep going,
R can be an A for them. Do not judge. Do not judge.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, but they said that it really happens when the babies have an older sister or brother.
Oh, so they're looking for attention.
Yeah, so they're trying to get attention from the mother, and they studied even how the baby reacted before the mother ignored them and after the mother ignored them. It was cool.
Well, they've got, like, that video on YouTube of, like, the little baby, like, she's crying, and then the dad leaves the room, and the baby stops and walks into the next room and finds him and then just falls over and starts crying again.
Yeah, like I had a little brother and he would do that. Oh, he was 13 years younger, or he is. He's still alive. Why am I using it like that? He's 13 years younger than me, and he would fake cry all the time. Like, it annoyed me so much, but it was like, what? You can't be mad at a baby, you know? Or can you?
I get mad at babies.
I think you can be
cry
upset
on airplanes.
I mean, I don't know how parents do it, to be honest with you, when you have to put up with this little thing screaming all the time and their life depends on you. A child? Why? Yes. Why?
I love them, though. I love children. But, I mean,
I
would cry with
on
them.
I'm just telling you.
I like children when I can give them back. Like, I'm going to be that uncle that loads them up on sugar and hands them back.
Don't do it. Because then they'll leave for a weekend. I'm that aunt. And then they'll leave for a weekend and be like, watch Leona.
No.
And I'm like, oh, no, what do I do overnight? Like, she's crying for 8 hours.
They can sleep on the couch, right?
Oh, my gosh. But just give them a pillow and a blanket. They're good to go.
Well, what did they eat? Sorry.
In entertainment news, Shia LaBeouf is apologizing again, but this time found headbutting a man last night, actually, at a pub for a man supposedly went up to him and his girlfriend and started talking smack about his girlfriend's mom, her nationality. And so he had to play the hero, I'm assuming, and headbutt him.
As my brother says, nobody wins in a headbutt.
That's right. That seems extremely painful.
This is fantastic.
Was he not trying to mess up his hands? Or?
You know, I don't know.
Well, you'd think he'd be like, don't touch my face, but he leads with his face.
That's weird.
I don't get it.
Well, he doesn't use his brain because he got in trouble for plagiarizing all the time. Did y'all hear about that?
I did hear about that.
And he even plagiarized
his
apology.
And Jim Carrey called him out at some awards show.
Wait, plagiarized his apology?
He plagiarized his apology.
You type in apology letters on Google.
I'm not kidding. Yeah, that's exactly what he did.
He just needs to hire a speechwriter or something.
It was hilarious. I find him very funny.
The picture that is on line about this is just hilarious. He just looks so angry.
Creepy.
He's got like a big old scar across his head. Oh my gosh.
You know, when is enough going to be enough? I feel like he's always in the news for some fight or for some. Didn't he get in a big fight on set with Brad Pitt?
Whatever, yeah, I heard about that. I don't remember what that was.
He just has a huge attitude problem. And now that he's not as famous, I would say, as he, you know, as he has been in the past, I think the only really thing that put him on the map was the Transformers series. But
I don't know, because I really liked that one movie where he was a digger.
Holes. Yeah, but he was old, like 15 years old.
Yeah, even Stevens. I just want him to go back to poor little Even Stevens.
Maybe he's having an Amanda Bynes or like a Miley Cyrus time.
Not okay.
The Lindsay Lohan. He hasn't Lindsay Lohan yet.
Exactly, and that's what we used to say about Amanda Bynes. And here we are.
Speaking of Lindsay Lohan, she supposedly has been in London, clear and sober, quote unquote, but her drug counselor won't go on record saying or confirming that, but she supposedly is getting $5,000 to $15,000 per appearance at clubs at night, which her counselor is saying might hinder her recovery process. But she's saying, you know, I need this to make money. So kind of
interesting.
And Little Zay, it's spelt Little Zaw with a Z-A, but it's been corrected, Little Zay. He supposedly has gone into Twitter saying, some stuff I've done has been wrong, yes, but look at the position I'm in and look at the color of my skin. This is after the whole Justin Bieber, he got arrested for, you know, the whole egg thing. The cops came in and he was the one that got arrested for drugs found at the home, but you know, we'll leave that for
we can talk about that more later.
So right now is Chart Junk with Stephen Malcomas in Gix. Chart Junk by Stephen Malkumis and the Gicks. Really weird name. Sorry.
How do you say it, Marissa?
The Gicks? The Gicks. Yeah.
And the Gicks. It is now 8:19 on Friday morning.
Oh my gosh.
I'm still not awake.
Oh, long first week, but.
But hey, we have a long weekend. No
this
school on Monday.
Oh yeah,
feel like a kid again.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about the craziness of going back to school as a college student, and then compared to going back as a high school student.
Oh gosh.
And over the break, you know, I had some friends who went home, and they saw some people we hadn't seen in a long time, and they were telling me about it. They were the cool kids. We were not the cool kids. My group of friends were not cool. Aww. We were theater kids. But even
in the
theater club, there were the cool theater kids and the kids that you're like, oh, snitches, get out.
Yeah.
And I was a snitch, apparently.
Ooh.
So
no.
I just don't like you breaking
on?
The rules. Don't be breaking
rule
the
breaker.
Rules, guys.
What kind of rules were they breaking?
I just wasn't a partier, so I was never invited into any of that. So anyway, but we were laughing. I would think you would grow up, you know, 25, 24 years old now. Surely we're not still doing this cool kid game. And they said at the party, like, the cool kids didn't acknowledge them, did it?
Oh, my gosh.
We graduated. Move on.
Yeah.
Grow up. You're all living back in Midland. And I feel really good about myself every time I see you.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was telling Kira. I feel so great about myself when I go home just to see what other people are doing, and which is absolutely nothing with their lives. And they used to think they were so cool and, you know, all that good stuff. But I was
Yeah, I visited my high
school.
It's
cool
now. Yeah. What? College degree, master's degree. Oh my gosh. No, I visited my high school over break, and it was interesting because my brothers just graduated from that high school, and they were the last group of kids I know because they were coming in as freshmen when I was going out as a senior. And so I walked back, I'm like, who are you people? I don't know any of you, and like all new teachers, but it was great. I saw some people from my grade. It was just so much fun. And it was weird because my high school was small enough to where there wasn't really cliques. I got really lucky in high school where we didn't really have like the cool kids that like wouldn't talk to you or whatever. And see, like, I was a theater kid, but we were actually like one of the cool people, because in these small private schools, it's actually cool to do theater. But apparently, and
I went to a big 5A school, and the theater kids though, and all the defense, they were a little different. They are.
Different.
I was a little different. And I don't think when you're that young that you understand that. You know what I mean? When I was younger, I felt like I was so ignorant. I didn't know, you know, anything, and I didn't really know how the world worked or anything. And so, yeah, you probably would have caught me saying, wow, that girl is weird a couple times. And now I feel, you know, obviously feel bad
for
saying
that. Were you a cool
kid,
Morgan? Don't lie to me.
I was like in the cool kid group, but I was like the one that didn't, you know.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah,
I mean,
was
no. I was like the rebellious one. We had the cool clique, but they would always.
So you're even cooler.
You know, yeah,
in
I guess
high school
I was the cooler one. No, my friend, she always had the parties and all of that cool stuff, but we all played sports. And all of that. And I was known to be a little mean, but
mean.
You know, looking back on it now, I do regret that. That's one of the things I regret, is not treating people the way that they probably should have been treated. But hey, it happens. I've learned from it. I'm a way better person now. And I guess that's the whole point of it. So.
Yeah, maybe. You learn a lot.
What about you, Alyssa?
Yes. I was the I did everything, honestly. I hate sports, like, to this day. So anybody that played sports, I didn't really talk to them that much. But for some reason, like, when I was in middle school, I was very awkward, like, unibrow, like, looking a mess.
Oh, I'm
like,
so sorry.
Yellow teeth, y'all. I was the worst. And then I moved to Mesquite and moved to a 5A school. And before, you know, I'd known all my friends since like third grade. So moving there, I was like, oh, I'm just going to try everything. So I was like a goth girl for a while. I was like a book nerd, which I still am for a while. Like anime. I did everything in
high
school.
That. You
like,
just
I
go through all these trends.
All. So I had a lot of like popular friends, but I was also in theater. But I think they honestly just enjoyed the fact that I was weird. So like now my friends that were in high school that came to Tech and were in like sororities and everything, they were like, Alyssa, like, why didn't you do that? And I'm like, I just hung out with y'all. It didn't mean that I was, you know, cool. Y'all thought I was cool, but I wasn't.
I don't know. I feel like I haven't changed too terribly much. I've become a little bit more mellow, not quite as uptight.
As with me.
But because I was really high strung in high school. I don't didn't take much to send me way over the edge. I don't know. But I would like to think that I was a nice person in high school because I was not cool.
That's what more than
I can say. Very monotone. Like everyone always explained me as the most monotone person. So I've livened up a lot since college.
Have you?
Yeah, I used to be very like. Okay.
Y'all should tweet us at the Raider881 and tell us how you were in high school. And also, we always welcome feedback on Facebook at the Raider881 as well. But I can see that, Alyssa.
I'm still pretty monotone, right? Like, I haven't changed that much.
You can't help it.
The only reason why I livened up is because I got a job that was answering phones. So I couldn't be like, welcome to On the Border. This is Alyssa. So I had to learn how to talk with a smile, and I had never learned how to do that before.
How did you get through theater without doing...
That's why I got into theater.
Wait, what?
So you could learn how to use your voice.
I did Diary of Anne Frank. And so I learned...
Who did you play?
I was Mrs. Van Dan.
I don't even remember that show. She was the uptight, pompous...
She was mad about everything and screamed and screeched a lot. So it really taught me how to not speak with my chest and start being nasally. Because I never did that before.
Because everybody loves a nasally voice.
I pretty much sound like Fran Drescher on stage.
That's fantastic.
What do y'all miss the most about high school? Is it just the time that you have?
I miss my weekends, not having homework.
And
not having to pay my bills. Oh, I love that. Sorry, that doesn't happen in real life.
Having money.
Yeah.
I really do miss the camaraderie of like the group I was in, because we were there together like every single day, and like we did the theater together and we were in that kind of stuff together. And I was one of the few people that were like jock theater crossovers, so that even like tightened up the group more. It was really interesting because I really miss that. When I came to college, I'm like, I'm not seeing you every day. So at the beginning, it's like, well, we're just thrown together in this situation. But I grew really close with some people.
But I also feel like after high school, I don't want to see those people every day.
Right. Yeah.
I was different. My freshman year, I went back to my high school constantly. Like, I liked all my teachers.
I made fun of people that did that. Like, my mom and dad always tell me, I saw this whole group of girls there and
I have not been back since I graduated. The day I graduated was the last day I ever stepped foot in my high school.
I mean, I've considered going back and actually trying to get a teaching job at my high school.
Gross.
I really did enjoy it.
You really love it.
I did. I really did. Like, some of my teachers, like, I still, like, they were my mentors. Like, I don't know. Like, it might have just been, like, the few teachers I had, but, like, I really appreciate them. And I'll still go get lunch with them when I get back. And I'll still meet up with, you know, kids I graduated
with. Well, my debate teacher, I was a debate nerd also, and I was on newspaper staff. So cool. She was arrested for selling drugs to students.
Sweet.
So,
what kind of drugs?
Prescription pills.
Morgan, only Morgan. Well, I think it's really interesting.
Let me
write down this lady's name.
You know, it's kind of like that little Zay story we were talking about earlier. Like,
who is little Zay?
I think it says a lot about you, the type of drugs that you think. And I think it's going to be really interesting to talk to our guest later, who is the Center of Addiction Services
and Recovery.
In recovery, director. So, I think that'll be really neat to talk about.
And we have him coming up next, so we will be right back with Dr. Thomas Kimball. And right now, I think we've got news and weather.
This is Alyssa Russell with your KTXT News Update. President Obama will announce today that he's ending the controversial National Security Agency phone data surveillance program as it currently exists. That's what a senior administration official told CNN. The official said Obama will order a transition of the current intelligence gathering program to one that addresses concerns about privacy and civil liberties. A man who won a chance to hunt a black rhino is reportedly getting death threats. Corey Knowlton tells KTVT people are threatening to skin his family alive, kill them, and burn their house down. Most of the comments appear to have been on Knowlton's Facebook page. Knowlton paid $350,000 to the Dallas Safari Club for the chance to hunt down the black rhino. The Dallas Safari Club has defended the hunt, saying it's after an older, non-breeding black rhino who attacks and kills younger animals. People who drink diet soda may find they're not hitting their mark when it comes to weight loss. Researchers at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health said overweight and obese adults who drink diet sodas actually increase their intake of food calories. The study's lead author says that people who are drinking diet sodas should pay attention to other factors, such as eating sweet snacks, to identify areas for moderation. The study is published in the American Journal of Public Health. Here's Cutter Mark with a look at our weather.
Last morning of the school week out there, starting out cold. Temps in the lower 20s, feeling like the teens with a breeze. Now that same wind turns southwesterly, and with plenty of sunshine and those winds becoming gusty, we can expect warmer afternoon temperatures. Still cool, however, in the mid to upper 50s. This weekend, more mild temperatures prevail. High Saturday and Sunday, both in the 60s. Mornings remain chilly in the 20s. And now MLK Day Monday, a little bit cooler. Highs in the lower 60s, breezy conditions as well. For the Raider, I'm Cutter Martin.
Welcome back to Good Morning Texas Tech. In the studio with us now, we have Dr. Thomas Kimball, who's the director for the Center for the Study of Addiction and Recovery. Thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure to be here, Kevin.
So, if you want to tell us a little bit about what you do for the center.
You bet. As you said, I'm the director for the Center for the Study of Addiction and Recovery. The center offers a variety of different services, but we're probably best known for our collegiate recovery program. We offer support to now 120 Texas Tech students who are in recovery.
Oh, wow.
And doing fantastic, going to school. As you might imagine, being on a college campus, may I dare say even Texas Tech's campus, might be a little difficult for somebody who is in recovery, who has had a problem with alcohol or drugs in the past, and has worked really hard to all of our students at least have a year clean. Many of them have several years clean, but then being on campus and trying to maintain their recovery can be kind of adverse for them. So we offer a place for them to be. Our building is kind of sandwiched between the human sciences building and the Child Research Center.
Mm-hmm. I love y'all's building, though.
It's yeah,
very great placement and really pretty building. So
yeah, and we offer them some support. We offer them, they come together as a community and support one another through activities. We're actually going to Breckenridge, Colorado the 1st of February.
That's very cool.
Doing a little what we call recovery ski-a-thon. They're having a big event.
Nice.
With lots of people coming in, young people in recovery coming in to Breckenridge to ski. So we do all those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm. It's very cool.
And these addictions that you're talking about, are they primarily just drugs, or are there other addictions as well that y'all help and support, or you know, help them get over?
Yeah, we like to think about addiction in two ways. One is chemicals, drugs. So that would include things like alcohol or other drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also talk about process or behavioral addictions, things like eating disorders, self-harm,
mm-hmm.
gambling. Gaming is a big one on mm-hmm. college campuses.
Really?
Uh-huh. And so we offer support. We have a variety of different 12-step groups that happen within our building. We also have a couple of support groups we run, which are therapist-led, one for eating disorders and one for self-harmers.
Mm-hmm. Have you found recently that eating disorders are more apparent in society, or they're more frequent, especially now with, you know, the society that we have and entertainment media and the pressures for especially females to be thin? Do you see that, you know, more often now? Or
yeah, I don't know. I think for women, eating disorders have always been very, very prevalent. And that might be that women are more apt to actually reach out for help for those. And so we know more about women that have anorexia or bulimia or, you know, another variety of eating disorder. What's really kind of coming on more is eating disorders that are being manifested in men.
Oh, wow.
And so you've got kind of this, for lack of a better word, exercise disorder where men are really, really exercising a lot. They become kind of obsessed with the way they look. I don't know if you've seen those guys flexing in the gym a lot.
Oh, yeah.
But you could give them my card, and we could maybe be helpful. You don't do that, Kevin. You don't flex at the gym. I think I saw him the other day at the rec center.
So this
is actually Morgan and I are intervening, Kevin. So I think that eating disorder, you know, what we know from some Harvard research studies is that lots of college-age women may not be struggling with a full-blown eating disorder, but many of them, almost up to 80%, struggle with disordered eating, which is they diet inappropriately, or the way that they eat is really, really unhealthy. And I'm guessing that the men are catching up quickly.
And we talked about the thigh gap. Have you heard about that? It's kind of trending. We talked about that last show, but where if you're standing with your ankles touching, then you don't have a thigh gap, and they're saying, you know, that's obviously you're obese or overweight, or, you know, I just think it's really awful that we have to live in a society that does that. How have you not heard about that? It's trending on Facebook, Twitter. Where I saw it was the Chive, and it was really, in my opinion, disgusting, because these women would take pictures from the back, from the front, and show, you know, all these men out there, because that's, you know, who the Chive is pretty much promoted to, that they don't have a, you know, touching thighs. So I don't know.
That's interesting.
But it was really interesting. But I think it's really sad, especially how women have to be, you know, so you have to be really sexy but really pure at the same time, or and men have to be really masculine but caring at the same time. I mean, it's really
not real life.
It really isn't. It's kind of bizarre to me. But
and here's a message to the women. You know, as I talk to lots and lots of different men, is the variety of body types that men are attracted to are really, it's a really big spectrum, and so. Society says, or the media says, that women have to look this way. But if you talk to a man and you say, what is attractive to you, it's going to be very broad as far as the spectrum of body types. And each man is very, very different. And so women do not have to fit within, at least from the perspective of men, if you think about heterosexual relationships, they don't have to fit within a certain body type, because there's men are very diverse in what they're attracted to. And that, actually, women probably are more diverse even. You've seen, you've probably seen those couples where you think, why is she with him, right? You've never seen, we have. And so women, you know, sometimes looks are lower down on the list of what's important for in relationships.
And we'll continue talking with Dr. Thomas Kimball in a minute, but right now we have Who's Around by Jesus's Sons.
I need your dudes. I
Welcome back on Good Morning Texas Tech with Dr. Thomas Kimball from the Center for the Study of Addiction and Recovery. Thanks again for being here.
My pleasure. Most of my students call me Dr. Tom. So
Dr. Tom.
Oh, Dr. Thomas. Right. My mother calls me Thomas.
Thomas.
And Kevin, you don't look a thing like her, so Dr. Tom would be great.
Dr. Tom. Fantastic. Well, we were just talking before the break about addiction, about certain types of addiction, specifically body image, some other stuff. Actually, something I found really interesting, you said the gaming addiction. Are we talking about gambling or are we talking about video games?
Well, when I said gambling is certainly a problem on college campuses for sure. But what I was talking about was gaming. So some of the most difficult kinds of gaming addictions that we see are these kind of things like World of Warcraft, where you actually you become embodied in the character, and it becomes like this alternative lifestyle. But just run-of-the-mill, you know, Xbox, Wii, those kinds of gaming can be very intoxicating. Really, if you look at the research. Gambling and gaming, when you're engaging in those kind of behaviors, and this would also include sex, it looks more like an amphetamine response in the brain. So it's kind of that upper...
Serotonin is...
It ramps up, and it can become just as addictive as, you know, any kind of other drug that you're using.
Well, that's interesting, because in the College of Media Communications, we hear constantly about the way that video games affect us and, like, what it's doing. But it's interesting. I've never actually heard it as, like, an addiction. Like, oh, you're addicted to video games. You need to stop playing video games. But an addiction that you could actually go into, like, recovery for.
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
If you... Here's a sign if you're a gaming addict. If you're spending 40 plus hours a week playing a video game, you may have a problem.
Full-time job right
there. And if you can imagine somebody trying to go to school full time and then being into their gaming, you know, upwards to 40, 50 hours a week, and then just the amount of money that people spend on equipment and the computer things, and it can destroy your schooling. If you think about later in life, if you're doing that when you're connected to somebody. Your family, your romantic partner.
Wow. And do you see that more in males than you do females?
I have. I mean, I don't know what the numbers are. I haven't looked at that. But certainly I see more gamers who are males.
Yeah. That's interesting. I think, Alyssa, you had a question for Dr. Tom?
Well, basically, I think Alyssa wanted to know, what are some things that you should do when...
What are some ways that you can help your friend... like, let them know that they have an addiction, or, like, try to give them some help if you think they're addicted to anything.
Okay. I think Alyssa is asking me, you know, what we can do to help somebody that we know if we're worried about them and their addiction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a great question, and I field that question a lot in my classes, and you know, just people coming concerned about family members and friends of how can we be helpful. You know, the first thing that you need to realize that when somebody has crossed the line into an addiction, all choice in the matter is gone, right? So what happens in addiction, what we know now based on 30 years of research, is addiction is a brain disease. And in the simplest terms, what happens is the midbrain takes control of the prefrontal cortex. So the front part of your brain is all about decision making.
Mm-hmm.
And when the midbrain takes control, then the choice to use goes out the window. People will use, even if you put up all kinds of barriers, even in the face of all kinds of consequences, they will use. And that's what the disease is. It's using, even though I want to stop, I can't. And so one of the best things that loved ones, family members, friends can do is throw the judgment out the window.
Yeah.
And if you approach some people in concern and love without judgment, then you'll be really surprised at how people will respond.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as people come to me in their addiction, one of the most powerful things we can do is just listen to the story. And sometimes just listening to them, even if we don't agree with what they're saying or we're worried about them, can really be a powerful way to motivate change. Listening to them, really trying to understand what's going on for them. And then it's really important to not try to back them into a corner. Anytime you try to back an alcoholic or an addict into a corner and say, you must do this or you have to do this, their natural reaction is to do the very opposite of that.
Yeah.
And so what you do is you say, look, there's help available. If you want help, then I will go with you and we'll find somebody to help. And here at Texas Tech, you know, we have this great building, the Center for the Study of Addiction and Recovery. If you know somebody and they need help, if you can get them to walk through the doors of that building, we can be helpful to them.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is that we have a great counseling center here. We have a great marriage and family therapy clinic. We have a great psychology clinic on campus. And so there's lots of people that could be helpful right here within 100 yards of where they might be that they would be helpful. The other thing is you can't keep secrets. Mm-hmm. If you know somebody is shooting heroin, and you allow that to continue, what kind of friend are you?
Yeah.
If you allow it to continue without actually saying, I'm worried about you, there's something going on that I think is a problem. Or if you notice that your friend is drinking and they don't drink like the other folks, right? Because we know that about 1 out of 10 people has a tendency towards addiction.
Yeah.
So if that one person is your friend and they seem to drink themselves into oblivion on a regular basis, they miss class, they are beginning to really suffer relationally, those are all signs.
Mm-hmm.
Going to them and expressing concern, letting them know that help is available and that you'll be with them in that help anytime that they're ready are all things that you could consider.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Tom, I have a kind of curious question, I guess you could say. What is your opinion on the legalization of marijuana in Colorado? Do you think this is going to help society or hinder them?
Boy, that's a great question. It's almost like an entire show we could take just on the legalization
right?
issue. You know, in order to answer that, you kind of have to understand why marijuana became illegal in the first place in our country in history. And there's some very interesting kind of race reasons, some economic reasons why back in the 1930s it became illegal. I am certainly for the use of medical marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
We found that medical marijuana can be very helpful to cancer patients. And there's a study being done now, and that was actually a story that went out not too long ago where certain extracts of marijuana are very helpful to people who have epilepsy. So people that are having hundreds of seizures a month are able actually to reduce that by almost like 98% by a certain extract that comes from marijuana.
Wow.
So I'm certainly for the use of helping suffering people who are ill through the use of medical marijuana. Recreational use, well, Colorado is a great experiment. Colorado Colorado is like, it's like alcohol in Colorado. You can have a certain amount of marijuana on you for recreational use, and we'll see. I know that economically, Colorado will benefit. They'll probably see $60 million into their coffers this year, and by 2017, it's projected to be $120 million economically.
Oh, wow.
And so I have some concerns about adolescent use particularly and what that does to the brain, but we're going to find out, aren't we?
We are. That's, and you know, you hear sometimes that marijuana is a gateway drug. Is that why you maybe have some issues with adolescents using it, or is it for, you know, other obviously developmental reasons and stuff like that?
The theory about gateway drugs is actually it's actually borne out in the research. Before people use cocaine, They typically smoke cigarettes, they drink alcohol, and smoke marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
So that those drugs, you know, remember, guys, alcohol is a drug.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's a legal drug in the United States, and you know, if you think about marijuana, our society suffers way more damage, including on college campuses, by the use of alcohol than it does any other drug combined.
Yeah,
I mean, think about that. Any other drug combined. And so as we talk about marijuana, let's not forget about the misuse and overuse of alcohol that's happening within you guys' peer group.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, thank you so much, Dr. Thomas Kimball from the Center for the Study of Addiction and Recovery. Thank you so much for being here, shedding some light on the subject.
And remember, if you know somebody or have any issues, all those services that Dr. Tom talked about are free to students.
They're welcome to come in. We got lots of students that would be willing to sit down with them and help them out if they need it.
Awesome. So get your year started right and make some great decisions. And
all right, and here is Arctic Monkeys with Do I Wanna Know.
Have you got color in your cheeks? Do you ever get that feel that you can't shift the tide that sticks around like summits in your teeth? Are there some aces up your sleeve? Have you no idea that you're in deep?
I dreamt about you nearly every night this week. How many secrets can you keep? 'Cause there's this tune I found that makes me think of you somehow, and I play it on repeat until I fall asleep, spilling drinks on my settee. Do I wanna know if this feeling flows both ways?
Sad to see you go.
Started hoping that you'd stay. Saying things that you can't say tomorrow day. Crawling back to you. Never thought I'd call and run. Give up you, 'cause I always do. Maybe I'm too busy being lost to fall for somebody new. Now I'm falling through. Crawling back to you. So have you got the goods? Been wondering if your heart's still open, and if so, I wanna know what time it should. Simmer down and poker up. I'm sorry to interrupt, it's just I'm constantly on the cusp. I've tried been to kiss you. I don't know if you the same as I do, but we could be together if you wanted to.
Do I wanna know
if this feeling flows both ways?
Sad to see you go.
Was sort of hoping that you'd stay.
Welcome back to Good Morning Texas Tech, on air now every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 to 9 a.m. Thanks for tuning in. That was the Arctic Monkeys with Do I Wanna Know.
I love that song.
It's a fun song. So, where did we leave off when we were talking about entertainment news earlier? Little Z, Little Zay, Little Zot, whatever.
Oh,
Little
no,
Zay.
Not
oh,
this goodness. Again.
Who is that?
He's a rapper.
He is Justin Biebs, like, little friend who's not super famous, but famous because he's
hangs
Justin
out
Bieber's
with Justin
friend.
Bieber.
But anyways, he was saying that when the police came in with a warrant to search Justin Bieber's home because of the whole $20,000 destruction on his
Justin.
Neighbor's home deal with eggs.
That's insane.
This
how do you do
rapper,
$20,000 of damage with eggs?
Yeah.
Because apparently, you know, these homes, y'all, you have no idea. That's probably nothing to these people. But anyways, so he was the only person that was arrested when the police came in. And he tweeted something that was kind of really weird to me. But he said, "Some stuff I've done has been wrong, yes, but look at the position I'm in and the color of my skin. Cocaine? Question mark. Really? Question mark. all this time I was home in Texas, nobody gave a beep about what Zay is doing. So as soon as he gets to LA, he's all over the news. I love how he's talking about himself in the third person. But anyways.
Yeah, I was like, who?
You talk about yourself in third person? Is that not a normal thing?
Like, Kevin's getting ready for school. Kevin's going to rock this test.
But no, I thought it's really funny. And with the media's position, I guess how they're framing this is, you know, so what are you saying, that only that
only
you
white
know,
boys
people
do
of
cocaine?
Color don't do cocaine. And so what everyone's saying is that Justin Bieber really has a problem with not only cocaine but alcohol, but that hasn't made the news yet. Nobody's really talking about it. Nobody wants to talk about it. He's said that he doesn't have a problem and he doesn't need to go to rehab.
Well, they think they're being his friend by protecting him, and as we just talked about in the interview.
Yeah.
Clearly,
that's not really.
And I hope, you know, that doesn't turn into an issue, but crazy stuff.
It's interesting.
So I'm guessing he's saying...
Oscar nominations.
Yeah.
What?
What? Oh, wait, Oscar nomination?
Well,
I'm sorry.
Just some of the ones that are out there is 12 Years a Slave, American Hustle, Captain Phillips, Dallas Buyers Club, Gravity, Her, Nebraska, and Wolf on Wall Street received top awards as the nominees for Best Pictures when Oscar nominations were announced Thursday morning. I watched American Hustle last night, and I thought it was great. It really was a good movie. Gravity, I'm not so sure about. I haven't seen it, but I've heard mixed reviews.
Yeah.
But I'd be interested to see.
Can I explain that there is a knob on my headset that allows you to turn it up and down?
Oh, wow.
Not the actual box. Because there's a different connector that you connect your headset to. And so I'm thinking that my mic isn't on, their mics aren't on, and I'm screaming at Marissa, what is going on? Nothing. You're an idiot. Nothing. That's what's going
Yay,
on.
Yay, Kira.
Yay.
Man, I've never seen any three of those movies.
Yeah, I haven't either, but I really want to see American Hustle.
It's like, really, really good. And Kristen Bale is nominated for lead actor for that movie, and Amy Adams is also...
You said you watched it last night.
I did. I watched it last night, and illegally. Really, really kind of good. Kind of takes you back to the 70s, the late 70s, and so kind of cool.
It's about con men, right?
It is. It is about con men, and they basically take, what are those people called that you can't get a loan from the banks? Loan sharks.
Yeah.
They're basically loan sharks, and they entrap a couple of senators, a couple of, you know, people within the government, specifically the New Jersey mayor, into they had just gotten some damage hit by some weather, I think, to their community, and so he doesn't have the money, but he needs to start making more, you know, allow people to start getting permits and stuff, so on and so forth. But really great movie, and it has the what's her name? Jennifer Lawrence. I always forget her name.
The
I know
person.
Her face, but I was
she's nominated as well.
She is also nominated for supporting actress.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that'll be nice.
I did not see Gravity. Did anybody see that?
I didn't. I don't know. I heard right when it came out, everyone's like, oh my gosh, it's so good. I'm like, what? I don't know. I'm skeptical about it still. I'll probably watch it when it comes out, but I don't want to spend, you know, $10 or $7.50 or whatever it is.
Well, hasn't $15 it already came out? I thought it's been out for months now.
Yeah, it came out last semester, I know, because it was one of my current event questions. And Dr. Sadoff was like, what movie is, you know, starring George Clooney? And I was like, I know it's a movie about space. And
I don't know how long. Yes, 2 hours of them floating around in space.
Yeah, and they never explain what the movie is about. In the commercials. Mm-hmm. They're just like, Gravity. George Clooney's in it.
Sandra Bullock's in it. And here's a close-up of their face in space helmets. And oh no, something hit
something. Yeah, and that's all I know about the movie.
Satellite hit the spaceship. Anywho, hey, if you guys know what Gravity's about, let us know, because we don't on Twitter.
Raider88.1. But I think that's it for us today. We're wrapping up. We're ready to get our weekend on, and we will not be here.
Everyone
Monday.
Stay safe.
I'm going to go back to sleep.
But have fun. I know. I wish I could go home and go back to sleep. But, I mean, it's hard. When you're already up, you might as well just stay up, right?
So, that's true.
Sure.
Whatever.
Unfortunately.
But anyways, thanks for listening. You can always hit us up or tweet us at the Raider88.1 and on Facebook, the Raider88.1 as well. We would love to hear your feedback. Keep listening every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 to 9.
Except not next Monday.
All right. Yes, except we will not have a show next Monday due to the Martin Luther King Day.
But have a good weekend.
Yes. from all of us here at the Raider 88.1.